The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to KAOS 89.3 FM, Olympia, Washington. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every week right here on KAOS. Listen at your own risk. I must start off with the sad news this week. Free Speech Radio News, or FSRN, just folded up their tent due to a lack of funds. Now that very seriously sucks, especially considering the problems that the entire Pacifica network is currently facing. I really hope that FSRN isn't the first in a wave. On the other hand, though, we have Netflix. I just learned from Project Censored that Netflix is about to air what is evidently a most excellent documentary about the drone wars. And it so happens that when I heard this, I had just watched a most excellent fictional depiction of the drone wars on Netflix just the night before. The movie I watched was called Good Kill. So, controversial political content? What's up with Netflix? That's cool, I guess. Whatever. But whatever. I would highly recommend both the movie and the documentary. And I would try to avoid considering the conduit, if not the source, too much. So this movie I watched called Good Kill is set in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is perfect. For those of you who have never been, Las Vegas represents all of the most reprehensible aspects of American culture jam-packed into a gaudy and tasteless assault upon your senses that is sort of like the very darkest aspects of our culture condensed, precised, and then lit up by neon. It is fake, it is vulgar, and it is a totally manufactured world that excessively caters to all of humanity's most base instincts. It is, in other words, a fascinatingly horrific place. I would actually highly recommend that you experience it once, if you never have. Because I can guarantee you an adventure that you will never forget. Anyway, having the protagonist in Good Kill daily leave the circus-like atmosphere of Las Vegas in order to go mass murder people on the other side of the world by remote control adds the perfect dimension of unreality to the drone wars that, unfortunately, they seem to have not yet achieved in the public mind. And even as all of this is happening, there is mounting evidence that the Rump and his family are all using his presidency as a massive profit center. Numerous business entanglements and highly questionable promotions of Trump's private financial interests from official government sources, and ever-mounting evidence that, as shocking as it may seem, there is influence peddling going on. And now the Rump wants to throw all of the poor people out on the streets to fend for themselves as best they can, so that he can give all of his friends and himself a huge tax break that will leave trillions of dollars in deficits that we will have to pay for. Actually, let me amend that statement. A huge tax break that will leave trillions in deficits that your grandchildren will be paying for. So, just like his predecessor, he promised change. But he's giving us more business as usual. Actually, allow me to amend that last statement. He's giving us the shaft. Ooh-wee. Is it already time for another thunderbolt? Why, yes indeed. It is May 5th, 2017. Well, let's start this week's show off by considering the fact that from the time you were born until right now, every single thing you have ever done in your whole life has all led to you sitting here listening to me tell you that every single thing you have ever done in your whole life has all led to you sitting here listening to me tell you that everything you have ever done in your whole life has all led to you sitting here telling me.
1, 2, 3, 4.
According to some,
The universe was created by an entity known as God. And we humans were created in this God's image. Well, my own theory is that humanity represents a manifestation of the universe attempting to become aware of itself. So if my theory is correct, then the entity generally referred to as God does not itself have a clue what is going on, and in fact is using us to try to figure it out. If I were to turn my theory into a religion, I guess I would call it the Church of God, the Clueless. Or, alternatively, I might call it the Church of God, the Comedian. For if there is some sort of overarching intelligence that is running things around here, then one observation I would make is that this intelligence seems to have a highly developed sense of humor. Well, scientists are now working on confirming my theory. They are now thinking that they can create their own little universe. You see, they know that our own universe is constantly creating and spinning off other universes all the time. Black holes are involved in this, but otherwise, don't ask me how all that stuff works. So evidently, these scientists all got to thinking. If we know that the universe is doing this, and if we know how it is doing it, then why can't we use our new Hadron Collider and create a little mini black hole, and thus create our own little Big Bang, and thus create our own little universe? Our little toy universe would even come complete with its very own space and with its very own time. And what all of this means as far as religious world is concerned, then according to their own definition, if we can create universes of our own, then rather than a mere image of God, we are now gods ourselves. Sort of like God Junior. Another implication here, if we can create a universe, then rather than being created ourselves by some mysterious and unfathomable entity, who is to say that our own universe was not created instead by some guy who was sitting in some lab somewhere? If this is true, then people have been fighting all these wars for all these centuries over some frigging nerd who does not even live in our space-time continuum. But you know, it could be worse. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, He posits that all life on Earth evolved from some microbes that were left in some feces that was deposited several billion years ago by an intelligent species of spacefaring cockroaches. Now maybe you can understand why I am such a loyal fan of Douglas Adams. Tulsi Gabbard's bill to stop U.S. taxpayer funding of terrorist organizations perfectly encapsulates what I find so frustrating about the current American meme. The facts are not all that hard to find if you know where to look. And I've been screaming about this stuff for years, right here in the Thunderbolt. Yet no one knows any of the history or context that is behind the whole cluster that currently exists in the Middle East. For instance, if you tell people that every single one of the myriad major Islamic terrorist organizations that are currently operating in both Iraq and Syria these days, if you tell them these organizations were a direct creation of their own tax dollars, they will look at you like you're crazy. And that look will come long before you further explain that our tax dollars are even right now at this very moment funding several designated terrorist organizations in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. Thus, the introduction of Ms. Gabbard's bill on Capitol Hill. Authoritarians always invariably create boogeymen that threaten our way of life in order to create fear. Ostensibly, they do this in order to justify creating a police state in order to protect us from the straw men that they themselves created. But in reality, they do it in order to create a police state, in order to oppress poor people for the benefit of rich people. Designate a enemy, and then they demonize and dehumanize that enemy nonstop at every turn until finally people begin to view this designated enemy in the same manner that they would a slug. Authoritarians always do this. That is exactly what they have been doing for decades here in the United States, and it most certainly did not start with the rum. He is just bringing it about to its logical conclusion. With the fall of the Nazis and the Japanese after World War II, the communists were designated to be the new arch-evil villains and threat to mom, apple pie, and the American way. Then, in the 80s, after successfully destroying the Soviet Union, the American war machine found themselves in need of yet a new enemy in order to instill fear, in order to justify oppressing us, in order to justify maintaining the highly profitable war machine and police state apparatuses that gobble up over half of our national budget every year. And so it came to pass. Out of the soil of the earth, the machine created terrorists. So as far as terrorism is concerned, here again are some of the largely unknown yet easily verifiable facts that lay behind the history and the context that lay behind this whole cluster that currently exists in the Middle East in general and in the war and terror in particular. So during World War I, there were large Arab and Muslim factions that fought with the French and the English to defeat Germany and the Ottomans. Because the Brits and the French had promised the Arabs that if they did so, then they could have their freedom and independence after the war was won. So this was a pure lie, and they knew it was a lie when they said it. Yes, ever true to form, following the war, the Western powers instead implemented a pre-arranged plan called the Sykes-Picot Agreement. This agreement was only amongst the Western powers, though, because the only agreement that was reached in the Sykes-Picot Agreement consisted of which Western powers were going to seize which parts of the Middle East. They created artificial borders and artificial countries, some of which had never even before existed, and all of whose boundaries were drawn strictly to serve Western interests and took no heed whatsoever of local needs, desires, connections, history, or relationships. And in a side note, Tsarist Russia had originally been a part of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, but after the Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks not only backed out of the top secret arrangement, but they revealed the dirty deed to the general public. It was also during this period that they truly began perfecting their honey trap of controlling countries through debt. It was this, just as much as their armies, that eventually defeated the Ottoman Empire. We'll be right back. British intelligence agent named Thomas Edward Lawrence, better known as Lawrence of Arabia, consciously lied to an Arab army to get them to throw the Ottomans out of Arabia. And it was Lawrence who then installed the wholly owned House of Saud in Saudi Arabia in order to better serve Britain's interests. The Balfour Declaration, which provided a sham legal basis for the Zionists to subsequently steal Palestine from its longtime inhabitants, was also signed during this period. And all of this came about, very conveniently for England, right at the time when the British Navy was converting from coal to oil. So Western history books treat the carving up of the Middle East as if it were just a natural flow of events from one thing to another. What is not spoken and thus assumed is this. Of course, the Western imperialists are going to welch on their word and screw their former allies as soon as they are done with them. That is what imperialists always do. Why even talk about it?
So this show originally aired back in 2017 when I was still on a full hour format, and so I had to split Terrorism Inc. in half. So we'll be right back with part two of Terrorism Inc. after a quick station break.